Awesome. So, welcome to season 4 of the Pro Fun Ever podcast.
How's it, everybody?
Yeah, we finally got back at it. Finally doing some podcasts. Finally getting season 4 started. Not at the end of the year, but we're starting it. We said we're cool. We just have to get the podcast back up and running.
Let's go. Let's get it going. Let's not wait for 2023 to roll on and then, let's go.
Well, for you guys that are avid listeners of the podcast and all of a sudden got a notification from Spotify or Apple saying, hey, there's a new Pro Fun Ever podcast, but we actually want to know who this guy is. So he's the black sheep. If you watch the vlogs, so which you should actually go watch, Disruptive and Teen Media House, black sheep, go and follow us there, subscribe, would know who this guy is. But voted to introduce you to the audience, give an elevator pitch. Who's the black sheep?
All right, we'll do a two-story or three-story elevator pitch, not a long one.
Yeah.
I think, just in a nutshell, my name is Wouter Vermaak. I've got the Black Sheep as a company, as a media house. I'm similar to Disruptive Intent.
Yeah.
Clients at the current moment, out of Africa, Yamaha, SAMX Nationals. Just those are some of the guys. Trent Balseki.
Yes.
We're going to mention him a bit later as well.
Yeah. Some people with action.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just me in a nutshell. I've been doing it for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
Recently started the vlog as well a couple of months ago. Thanks to you, Kevin. I mean, the influence from your side. And it's going well. I'm quite happy with the results so far. That's me. That's like, let's keep it short.
That's in the nutshell.
That's the best, though.
Yeah, no, I think it's an interesting because we both share a passion of dirt bike racing. Doesn't matter if it's motocross or supercross or off-road or enduro, whatever. I think we're both not 100% fans of enduro. Not fans, but like we don't. If we can choose what to watch, enduro is not the best thing. Except if it's Billy Bolt, then
it's next level.
Then we watch it for him and not for enduro.
No. You watch Billy Bolt, you don't watch enduro. Definitely.
But nonetheless, we're still fans of dirt bike racing in general, and I think that's where we clicked and we started to share a passion of all this. And we had multiple long telephone calls about ranting about the industry and talking about everything. So
too long, but I think we're gonna have many more long ones like that.
Exactly. Now we have a platform to monetize.
Now you're gonna hear what we not just what we talk about on the phone, but you're gonna hear about everything, behind the scenes, what's going on, news, updates. All sorts of, I don't even know yet, but there's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
Exactly.
Can't wait for that.
So, to segue nicely into that, you've now been involved with the Out of Africa Yamaha team, documenting their side, their rating. How has the season been for the Out of Africa Yamaha team and the Nationals and the motocross?
What started as 2021? Was it 21? Yeah, 21. So last year, at the end of the year, there were Dalton had a bit of an injury, bit of ACL action going on there. So it was like really touch and go. He came back up strong. So it's been a rough year for the Out of Africa guys. I wouldn't say rough. That's actually a bit of a harsh word. It hasn't been the best of seasons, but there's been a lot of growth and a lot of like movement forward in the last couple of races where the guys really shaping and pushing out like serious good times in the laps. Just bringing some results and some podiums home, and that's good. That's good to build on, a good face to build on, moving forward for 2023. There's a lot going to happen in 2023, that I can promise you.
Exactly. And a part of that is we all know that Yamaha released a brand new bike. They built a whole new bike and everything. So I'm really excited to see those guys. Okay, we saw them send those bikes at King of the Whip, but they actually send them on the motocross track and see how they perform, because it's always touch and go of a brand going from a winning formula, because we saw Eli Tomac win on it on the previous bike and everything, and now they go like, brand new bike. We're going to just like scrap whatever we had and build a new bike.
Screw the 2022 model.
Exactly.
Just like
screw the bike that won.
Screw that shit. Just build something new.
It is partly due to Eli. Eli is a monster. You can put him on anything and he'll win. But
Suzuki with a kickstart.
exactly. Hey, don't joke. We might see Ken Roxon on a Suzuki soon. I'm super excited to see that. And luckily we have the Out of Africa Yamaha channel that as well, which if you're documenting the racing, you can actually see some action and highlights and a little bit of behind. And if you want to see the behind the scenes, then follow the Moto X vlog as well.
If you want to see some behind the scenes action, then you're going to follow my channel. I mean, and that's similarly with you. I mean, you've what's your story there with Pepsin? What's the story with the Pepsin Kawasaki crew there?
So, okay, to give you a roundup on their year as well, it's been a lot of development here. And with that, we also, like, Pepsin won the GXCC seniors title with Kenny on a 450. Mm. He won the nationals and the GXCC seniors title. Like, I mean, that's two not national. Winning the national one is nice, and then the GXCC one, it's a hell of a lot
trophies
competitive.
Trophies everywhere, eh?
Yeah, it's a lot of... And then we got guys, I mean, Tucky finished third in the 250 class, and JC was second in the national. So there was a lot of, like, top places. They filled up the podium, basically, in the championship. So it was a good year. Even though it was seen as a development year. Not a development year, but more of a, like, okay, let's learn the bikes. Let's go out and have fun and whatever.
That's not a bad... Those aren't bad results for having fun, eh? Having fun.
Exactly.
I mean, that's quite impressive. I was just having fun.
Yeah, but that's not... I think that's the attitude that Ian creates in the team as well, is to go out there and have fun. It's a family-orientated team. Mm. There's not an attitude of win at all costs. Like, this guy ripped his ACL, but if I can tape it up and go race. Yeah. It's not a thing of that. So
shoot some quarters around and let's go. Right?
Yeah, and I think that's part of now segueing into my side and my involvement in the team is covering the media. So we sold it to Ian. Me and Taki like advocated hard, like, hey, media is the future for teams. Oh, yeah. It's not just a thing of racing anymore and showing that the crowds at the GXCC especially is getting bigger and stuff. But like, those are the people that are already convinced that, like, hey, we need motorcycles. And yes, you want to now get the other people to also come to the rack. And now we can get the people from the comfort of the homes to watch the YouTube channel.
Yes.
I had an Instagram message saying yesterday, a guy that bought a Husky. He didn't buy a KTM, but a Kawasaki. Nonetheless, he was saying, thanks for putting up content for the GXCC, because it's so difficult to get good quality content on the GXCC. So getting messages like that is like a big up to
people
us.
People are watching it. People are watching the content. People want to see more of it.
Yeah.
It's just, we need more.
Yeah, we need more eyes on that.
Yes. Like and subscribe.
Yeah. so that's my role with Pepsin. Like and and also getting more, like, now I actually have a 250 that I'm gonna race next year. I won't be involved in the GXCC and the national championships. I'm not on that level. Those guys are fucking miles ahead of me. They'll ride circles around me. So I'll do more of this, the farm jams, 422, stuff like that as well, because I want to get more into it. And hopefully then I'll get a chance to do a pro-am class in the GXCCs or something like that. Yeah. So that's my aim. Like, I still have the obligation to cover the media on that side.
Yeah, of course.
But we'll see how played by ear and see how many races of GXCC I'll actually be racing. My aim is to eventually get to a point where I can be fast enough to race in the OR1, OR2, OR3, whatever pro classes, and be competitive in that sense. But at this point in time, the slow to pro journey is still on the slower side more than to the pro side.
Hey, you've at least got a journey. I don't think I'll ever ride with the MX boys.
Those guys are. I had a ride this morning with Taki as well, and like, now not only he's on a 450, so he's already
arm stretcher.
Like, we already on the same type, we same bike. We say the KX250 and the KX450, but he's just so fast, that guy. Like, it's insane. But yeah, nonetheless, that's kind of the journey with the Pepsin team as well. As Ian sees it as, okay, let's keep it family orientated, let's keep it fun, let's go to the races and have a jaw and whatever. You'll see in the videos, he's like very light-hearted about it. It's not like it is a factory team, because technically
you're racing. I mean, it's a national event.
It's the only team that's like backed by Kawasaki itself. So I mean, get we're the factory,
the official
factory,
team.
Yeah, the official Kawasaki team. So it is serious, but when it comes to racing, it's racing. Everyone races hard, everyone pushes the bar, but when we have fun, it's also a fun and relaxed atmosphere and whatever. So I think it's a nice balance of giving it your all and also enjoying the journey along the way.
Yeah, that's sick. Mm. That's just like, that's the way to do it. You've probably like, you've got it on both ways. You're like racing and you're doing the media thing. Oh, that's legit. Mm. That's really legit.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to being involved in that. We had this conversation today where we're saying, like, we both work for two of the best teams in the sport.
Yeah, I mean, hands down.
I mean, Guy Henley, he's got the same attitude as Ian. It's
a family. It's supposed to be a good day out for everybody. Yes, we're racing, and yes, we take the racing serious, but yeah. it's still a, it must still be an enjoyable moment.
Yeah.
When the racing is done afterwards, then, I mean, there's nice, like, if you have a nice braai afterwards and we have this, like, couple of beers going and everybody's having a good time, even if everybody did horrible, we still have, like, a great team session afterwards. And that is so important, though. That is something that, that, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure other people, I'm sure the other teams do the same, but that's just my experience of live experience.
I've not worked with the other teams. And the thing is, I had listened to Gypsy Tales podcast today with Dean Wilson, and he said the same thing. So Jace asked him the specific question of, when did you start to feel anxiety? Because he was talking about he's got anxiety and he got panic attacks and whatever. And he said when he moved from a Japanese bike to an Austrian bike, and he had Roger da Costa there on the berm standing there watching him, and then he crashes and he's like shit, and he gets up, and then as soon as they drive out the gate, he's like cool, boom, pumps out the lap times or whatever. So
a set of eyes watching him is enough to give you anxiety.
As soon as there's an extra pressure there, and there's like a, now like he's riding for Honda, the firepower Honda team and whatever, and he's like so chilled, and people are accepting that. And Jace had the same, like outlook about it, but the World Supercross, in that sense of it being a bit more, yes, we take it serious and we're racing whatever, but now it's not a thing of fly in, race your ass off, go back, fly Monday morning, start training.
I heard that. It's like this massive, like, it's just this routine, this like cutthroat routine.
Boom, boom, boom.
Guys are fucking not lasting. There's so much racing. They're not spending time with their families. They're not, they're literally just flying from one race to the other. And if they're not racing, they're training. If they're not training, they're racing. There's no off period.
Show me another career where a guy retires at 26 or 28. Like he's done.
Finished.
You physically like.
Physically, his body is like finished. Like
physically, mentally, you're just like over it at 26. And I mean, like that's crazy to think that at that age, but that's now what I think the attitude of most of these team owners are of. I'm not speaking about any of the other teams. I'm speaking of Pepsi and themselves, but they're like, okay, cool, we train hard, we do everything we need to do, we go out and have fun and everything, everyone like still, like, I mean, I told you about the results now. We're still doing good in the GXCC and the national championships, giving those guys. And now the thing is, we getting got new guys in. I mean, Tucky's moving to a 450, and it's like he's stretching his arms on that thing now.
They're probably about this much longer. On the first day. So, like an orangutan afterwards.
He's just like hanging on the side.
A gorilla, his knuckles is dragging on the ground as he walks.
So that's a part. But on the other side, like what the point that we're getting to, also having fun, is the Yamaha guys showing up at King of the Whip.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. I mean, that's, it's such a small crowd of people, that the MX community is so small. I mean, there's very few guys, I think, like, that can really whip. I mean, and the boys can. I mean, they can. I mean,
Jesse was third on the podium for King of the Whip.
After falling the morning, like really falling hard. Like
exactly.
Proper. He ate shit. There's no other word. He ate shit. And he'll tell you as well, he ate shit.
Yeah.
But ate shit and still got a third place. That's pretty amazing.
But all the other guys as well. I mean, like even the Malimis were there. They were doing the same thing. And all of them like were like mentored through Jungle Rush.
Dallin. The guys, Dallin, Dom, the guys were like really helping out.
They was like, okay, come through. And I think that's part of what helps grow the sport in a sense, because or freestyle in that sense is having guys like that. Because I remember like a few years back, and it was very close-knit community, and you wouldn't let in unless you were like part of the crew, and like you can't just, hey, I want to learn to whip, or I want to learn to do freestyle, come to our park and whatever. There wasn't a very open attitude towards that, and that's partly also why we did the freestyle productions that's down in George, because there's no freestyle in the Western Cape.
Nothing. So I don't know if people doing anything in that area. Everybody is from Joburg. You're like the Joburg clique do the
Yeah,
the freestyle stuff.
And now the Jungle Rush is up here. They like owning it. There's so many guys that are like the. I mean, Ion Daisel. I remember he gave up the freestyle and stuff, focused on his career, and then he came back.
Yeah,
and
he's back now. Yeah,
yeah, he's back and he's sending it. And I've seen even after King of the Whip, he's training, because that was my big concern. Like everyone is like King of the Whip, hype,
and then
it just boom dies down. Everyone's like December holiday,
fucking nuclear explosion, and now it's dead. There's this massive hype, and it was. It was a wonder. I mean, it was a great event. Massive, it was fucking insane. I mean,
yeah, still repping the shirt. I think he's still wearing it from
King of the Whip. I've taken it off. Yes, it was a sick event. It was really cool. I mean, and for everybody, not just from our perspective, yes. Not just for the riders, the fans, the small kids to the grown ups. Everybody enjoyed it. It was a really cool event.
And the cool thing is that Ryan did well is the spectator value to it. There was a grandstand. If you want to go sit on the grandstand, you can go pay for that ticket and you sit there, or you can pay for the general area and you can stay on that side. The only thing that I heard people not complain about but mention was the long queue to get in. Yes. And I mean, if that's the only thing that you're concerned about is like, oh, it took a while to get in because there was 5,000 people there.
That's probably understandable.
And it's a good event because then there was no issue with food vendors. There was abundance of food vendors.
I left.
All aspects were covered.
I'm trying to think what time I left. I think it was like close to 10.
Yeah.
If not a bit later. And the food vendors were still vending. Yeah. There was almost no one left and they were still selling food.
Exactly.
So I was like, wow, that's actually quite sick. I mean, you could still get some decent chow as well afterwards.
So everything was catered for. And I mean, it was at Monte Cassino. So if you're really keen for a party, you can
just across the street. I'm not sure if it's still even called Billy the Bums or just Lock Stock and Barrel or Lock Stock, how the Oaks call it. I don't know. But everywhere, you could just literally go out for a party.
So no, I think it was a good event and it was a good.
I didn't hear of any burnouts and things happening inside the Monte Cassino, so I'm sure the freestyle boys or the Whip Kings didn't go there. They partied elsewhere.
It was very quickly shut down because I remember one of the guys going out through the back section, and someone would rev the bike or whatever, and security were on them. And like 5 seconds later, they're like, no one's pushing out their bikes or whatever. They kind of have to come and collect the bikes, and I'm like, and then I saw people started pushing out their bikes.
Slowly, back to the parking lot, getting their bikes back. Yeah.
Because I think everyone saw Kobe Ra's video. I don't know if you saw that video.
Mm-hmm.
So he also pitched up at a casino. Eventually got his bike into the casino, pushed it through, where they're gambling, like he's on a two-stroke fucking pushing it through the crew, gets to a pool, speaks the security and the management comes from like, hey, what the fuck are you doing with the bike? He's like, no, I already spoke to the people. He didn't mention names. He's like, no, I spoke to the people already.
They said it's fine.
They said it's fine. I mean, we're here to promote the hotel and the casino and whatever. Pushes the bike, all of a sudden gets on it, pins it, poof, into the pool. Into the pool, there he goes. I'm like, what a fucking guy.
That's a moment to cherish forever. Exactly. He's going to remember that. So, that's crazy.
So I think hopefully no one saw that video before they went to Monte Cassino and try to get their bikes into the casino.
I think that'll be something else. Imagine they'll never have that event at Monte ever again. They'll just can it straight.
Exactly. We did get some sick burnouts off the event. I think it was chaos.
That went crazy. Like Julian just started ripping one, and then the next moment it was just I was standing there and the bikes just came.
Everyone's like, Bernard, no.
You just see radio just popping, pipes glowing. It was crazy.
No, it was insane. But it was, like I said, it was a proper event, and I'm really excited. Hopefully, Ryan and them signed a contract for like next 5 years or whatever.
Yeah, talking about Ryan, Ryan Adler. Ryan Adler.
No.
That kid was hooking it.
16 years old. 15 years old. Jumping those gaps, I mean, and then afterwards, like getting the acknowledgement. Like, it's all fair and well. It's like, oh, what a guy. Getting the acknowledgement from a guy like Julian saying, dude, kudos. Like
The jersey, I don't know if you saw the jersey that he gave to him. That's his actual X Games gold medal jersey that he wore when he won. That's his actual one.
I
think Steve or Dom told me that afterwards when I met. He saw him. Like, yeah, that's his actual jersey
that he wore. That's
pretty sick thing.
You need
to box frame that, Ryan. Yeah. Box frame that.
Yeah, 100%.
Jürgen, I'm telling you, box frame it. Box frame that. That's a nice thing.
And it's signed as well.
Did he sign it?
I'm sure.
Surely they did. I'll actually ask Ryan. I'll send him a message. I'll send him a text just now and ask him if he signed it.
Because that's the thing that you put up, and that's cool memorabilia. But
yeah, that's real memorabilia. Yeah.
Adding on to that is like the international. Hopefully, this now has a ripple effect of next year. There's three or four international guys coming. Because our guys are on that level. I mean, Dallin, Mike,
yes, Dallin was
Scotty. Scotty was struggling a little bit, but even him, he's always sending it. And I mean, fucking hell, our boy Jason Hannon, fucking hell, with his old clapped out two stroke YZ, going for it.
I've got a clip. I've got a clip. Yeah. We'll put it with you. Must see this clip.
Yeah.
That oak, he just pulled it back. Yeah. He almost ate it again. Yes, I mean, he went out and he also ate shit.
Yeah.
Proper. He just moved out.
So afterwards, because Steve Summerfield on the mic even said yes, that's almost bigger than Julia, because he did a flatliner.
Yeah.
And afterwards I asked him. He's like, all I did was it. I just threw it and I knew I had to kick the bike as hard as I possibly can. So all he did was jumped it and kicked the bike. He's like, I don't know how I'm going to get this bike back, but it has to be big. And that's all he did. He's like, fucking bike, there. I'm like, oh shit. Okay, cool. That's fucking great.
Yes,
bro.
No, it was cool seeing that extended. It was something else. It was my first time ever being in an event like that, a big freestyle event.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite something to behold. That's quite cool. Flames firing out and bikes going through the air. It's just a sick event.
The other one was a bit more, how can I say, the previous ones, that biker warehouse, that little...
If I look back at some of the footage, it looks a bit really backyard vibes going.
So it was a good event. It was all fun and games. The only thing was there was no... with this event, there was the bikes jump here. And the crowd is here.
So proper
with
structure.
With that event, it was crowd is here, and then they basically open up when it comes and lands or whatever. There was crowd as soon as it got later the night, there was people everywhere, but it was a sick event as well. Like I said, it was still proper event. I don't think there was any international guys there, but nonetheless, it was still a good event to attend and stuff like that. But I think that built the hype, because everyone remembered that, and then it got cancelled due to the lockdown and everything. And everything got cancelled and all that. We even got Cyril Ramaphosa saying
I wonder where that. I'm still trying to figure out how did that even happen.
Yeah.
Somebody must have been at some private party or something and then, guy was there were like, give us a shout out, come on. Get it done.
I think it was a good event and was going good. And so segueing in from the international guys there, how cool is it that next year Roof of Africa will be included in the FIM Highland Euro Championship? I mean,
that is sick.
I mean, that's not only one or two riders coming here. I mean, the top enduro riders. We gave enduro shit just now, but
In all fairness, respect to everybody. It's just not our preference. It's not that we don't enjoy it. It's just it's hard work to shoot. That's hard work to film.
So how cool is that the FIM Hard Enduro will now be coming to South Africa? They're filming the mother of all Hard Enduros is now part of the season. I was hoping that it would be the final round, because I mean, having the final round, championship deciding round, stuff like that in Lesotho, it's already a party. And I mean, anyone that's attended Roof knows it's a party.
I've not attended a Roof. I would really love to attend the Roof of Africa. That must be, think it must be something to experience.
The Roof of Africa is truly one of those bookmark events that you have to do if you're in South Africa. Bucket list events. That's one of those things that you okay, cool, we have to go. And even as a spectator, I mean, Chara and them do such a good job at marking the routes and telling you, hey, spectator value here. Here's a DSP here. That's everyone's coming here together. Like, it's It's such a, it looks like a convoy through the mountains, like everywhere, because everyone like, okay, rocks up here, and then the main team's here, and then the riders
next
come,
moment,
and then
they go to the next section.
Yeah, and then it's like going through, like, so it's such a spectator-friendly event.
Yeah.
Not that you can see the whole route, like there's no way, like, you know, you,
it's not a close
it's not
circuit.
Meant, it's not meant for you following them up in the mountains somewhere and whatever, and that's why it's called, like, hard enduro, because, like, you can barely walk there, and these guys send their bikes there.
They are. They're pulling,
yeah,
120, 30 kilos plus through the mountains. Yeah.
And I mean, they've this year they brought back around the houses, so they sent it through to town, like in Maseru themselves. So start the race in town. Like that was back in the day where they called it around the houses, where they start, like they have a special stage.
I saw some folks were like sending it like 170 k's an hour through town. I'm like, yo, on a hard enduro bike, that is
that's
fast, eh?
So that is I think that's a cool makes it more accessible for the people. And I mean, the people of Lesotho, as soon as they hear you're there for roof, they're like, thank you for coming, fucking just
they
come
know
here.
They know the money comes from there. It's a touristy, it's a tourist like attraction. That's they all know that's where
no
the money
for sure
comes from.
But the event is so well organized. I mean, everything is done to the T, and not only have I been outside as media or spectator on not this year's one, the one previously, I actually worked with Sharon them, like getting everything organized and whatever. They're busy, but at the event you get there, you as a rider, you get your checking, you follow the route, boom boom boom, and you get everything sorted. You sort like there's no issues or whatever.
It's
from
been
that
done.
Side.
That recipe has been done before. They're following the steps. So
exactly.
They know.
And then you have like Alti and them with that map the route. I mean, those guys are brilliant at finding these spots and whatever for the gold. I mean, they make it. And that's another thing where they make trying to make it like an introduction where they've added the iron class.
Yeah.
So if you're like, you still need to know your wits about, like, it's still Roof of Africa, but there's an iron class that you can go and ride. So then you can finish like and get a lower, like an easier route and whatever
you
can do. And then obviously you have bronze, silver, and then the gold with the top boys and whatever. So to my question is, I would be interesting how they're going to change that format with the FIM hard enduro coming up. Like, are those boys going to have their own route going through? So that's maybe we should have Charon on and ask him, like, hey,
what do you think? What is the plan?
What is the plan? Give us an exclusive over here. So.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. To get Charon on, like, ask him, what's the story? What do you think is the idea? Because we can sit here and speculate, but I mean, from his perspective, he'll have a much better in-depth idea of how something like that would fall into place.
Exactly.
They know how the format works now, but like you're saying, how are they gonna fuse these two with each other? Because surely you still want to pull the numbers, and you should want to make sure that you mentioned now the iron class. Those oaks, I'm sure they make up bulk of this of the entries anyway. You're like the lower classes, not the pro classes.
Yes,
you still need to cater for those guys. I mean, they make the event what it is.
Yeah, that's the and I'm thinking as a rider, like imagine how cool it would be to know you're on the same route as the top level guys in the world. Like it's not like a Romaniacs or something like that, but it's Roof of Africa, and you're lining up not with but in the same like environment.
Yes,
you're racing in the same event as a Billy Bolt. Or a Manny
Lichtenberg,
or a Matt Green and stuff like those top level guys.
Matt Green. Yeah. No, I'm just thinking about his interview. that was fucking hilarious. It was so lekker, man.
Yeah.
I know we're allowed to swear, but I think that's a bit rough for the podcast, even.
No, Matt properly sent it. Like he, not only on the bike, but everywhere.
In the interview
else.
As well. Like, full scene. I don't know. Sounded like, I don't know where he's from. He's
South African. Yeah,
he's South African, but where?
Durban.
Like,
I think he's from
Durban.
Yes,
he sounds like a boy from the Edenvale. He's like, lekker. It's very funny. That was such a funny interview. Shit, I wonder if he ever got how much shit he got into with that one. Eh?
Yeah, I'm not even sure, but I think that now circles back to our conversation at the start of making it fun again.
Yeah.
I mean, guys having fun. Even I watch the hard enduro vlogs and stuff like that and the videos that Red Bull put out and that, because it's so inclusive. Mm. And I think that's one of the things that the enduro community, I think, have, is that inclusivity. Like, everyone can join. Anyone is welcome. Mm. And that translates to the pro class as well. Yes, like a guy like Billy Bolt fucking sends his four-stroke, boom, and he jumps up and does what he's like. He's insane on that level. But I mean, he still feels relatable, if I can put it like that. He feels like he's a normal guy.
It's like, he's still that a normal training. Brassy. Yeah, he's still a guy. You know,
exactly. Yeah. All of them. Like, I mean, Manny as well. Like, I mean, he's like, he's this German guy that still has like a relatable personality in that sense, which is pretty cool. I think it makes the environment more inclusive, because you as a starting rider, I'm even considering, I said to Tucky this morning, I'm like, maybe we should try like you need to teach me like a little bit of how to get up in these rocks and whatever. I don't want to cut my new bike and everything.
Yeah, but still need to know.
But still, it's still like a good skill set to have and be able to maneuver a bike through these sections and whatever. So it's a very attractive thing to look at this point in time, which makes it. And I think that's now for all racing. I mean, the motocross side, I mean, you're involved with the nationals and stuff like that, but the lower other forms and stuff, not the lower, but the
club, the regional levels
also, they're highly how can I say, respected in that sense. If you win a northern regional title or whatever, it's still a regional event.
It's still something. Yeah,
it's still something cool to work towards. And I think that's a pretty, yeah, I think the all in all is, yes, people need to still work your ass off. You still need to train. You still need to do all these things and whatever. But I think shouldn't lose that aspect of have fun about it.
Which is still enjoy the sport. It's not supposed to be a shitstorm all the time. It's supposed to be enjoyable as well.
Enjoyable, yes. Yeah. Like struggle, like work hard and whatever, so you can still have fun on the bike.
Yes.
And everything,
you don't just want to have all this seriousness around the sport the whole time. Life is serious enough already.
And it makes it more relatable for an up and coming guy to see. Like, yes, if you see a top level guy racing, you're like, okay, cool, he also has fun, but he works his ass off to be able to get there, which
he still
is
really maintains
cool.
What he needs to maintain.
No, cool. So to I think to round off the podcast, I think we covered basically everything that we wanted to cover on this episode. Is the type of format that we want to do. It's like a conversational thing of me and Wouter talking shit
about relevant current stuff, what's going on at the current moment, or what our opinions are on current stuff, because it's not necessarily you won't necessarily agree with it, but you're welcome to like leave a comment and then we can discuss that in the next point.
That is actually if you have any contradicting opinions to anything that we say, just smash it in the comments, and then we'll mention it in below.
Or we'll just delete it,
or, if it's mark as spam.
If it's a really shitty comment, you just fuck this, okay? Fuck him, man. I don't want to talk to that person. Screw them.
Exactly. But now, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast will also be available on YouTube, and we'll be having clips on our Instagram profiles, so TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and wherever. There'll be clips of this.
Yeah.
But the main versions, the audio versions, will be on Spotify and Apple and wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen to a platform and it's not on there, send us a message and we'll make sure to get it onto
that platform. We try and cover all of them, but if you have to cover them all, then these would be the longest list of hosting sites in the world.
Yeah, the main thing is just to like, if I think everyone has Spotify or Apple Music, or at least
Google or some podcast form that are, let's call it the top five. If you've listened to one of the top five, you'll find the podcast.
Just give us a follow, give us a subscribe. If you're an Apple, give us a rating. There's a 5-star system there. Club of 5 stars there.
There's only 5 stars. It's never one, only five.
Only five.
Yeah, five is the only prize, five.
So, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you guys taking your time and listening to us.
Us rambling on, And, like I always say at the end, if you guys have any guests or suggestions or topics or anything you want to cover, or you want to even be on the podcast, put us a message there, like on whatever, on your favorite social media platform. Send send us a message, and we'll get you on.
We invite you.
Exactly.
You talk shit with us.
Yeah, come talk shit with us.
Yeah, literally. But be prepared. It's going to get wild. It's going to get wild.
Perfect.
Cool, awesome. Guys. Thanks a lot. Have a nice one.